Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
We're in the closing paragraph of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus warns us not to live in a house that can be blown down by the storm of judgment. In other words, don't live your life in a house of cards. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, streams rose, winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. That's a pretty abstract metaphor. A house built on sand, wind. What does that look like in practical terms? In today's podcast, we'll go through some examples of flimsy houses that won't withstand the judgment. As I run through the list, listen carefully and prayerfully to see if you are spending time in any of these death-trapped houses. There's so many houses out there that people are saying are safe that will be flattened on Judgment Day. One of them is the house of human religion. Millions of people will duck into that house of church attendance, the house of Bible reading, some denominational affiliation, religious rituals, ceremonies, only to discover that's a house of cards. Some people will duck into what I'll call the well at least house. You know what that house is? That's your conscience strikes, you know you did something wrong, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, at least I didn't do something a lot worse. Right? At least I'm not as bad as most people who do worse things. Or, yeah, I did that bad thing, but at least I'm doing good things to make up for it. Yeah, at least I'm going to church, at least I'm doing this, that. Well, at least house of cards. Other people duck into the house of philosophy. They come up with some ingenious way to imagine that the black marks on their soul just aren't really there. They just sort of talk themselves out of evil being evil. Probably the most common house of all is the house of good works. You feel condemnation for something that you've done, so you just crank out some holy extra credit to make up for your bad stuff that you did. Every one of those is a house of cards. It would be safer to hide under a leaf in a hurricane than to hide under any of those houses in Judgment Day. There's only one house with a solid enough foundation to survive the storm on that day, and that is a house built on the bedrock foundation of verse 24. And people have debated about what is the foundation? The foundation, God? Is it Jesus? Is it this? Is it that? Is it the gospel? He tells us what it is. He tells us exactly what it is in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The bedrock foundation is obedience to Jesus' words. And the sand foundation that won't stand is in verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Both groups hear the words. One does them, the other one doesn't. And that's the difference between a rock foundation and a sand foundation. So the issue here is what you do. What you do. Literally, it's the wise man hears these words and does them. Jesus did not say, whoever hears these words of mine and thinks about them. Or whoever hears these words of mine and admires them. He didn't say, whoever hears these words of mine and debates about them or writes about them or concentrates on them. He says, all of that falls short. None of that will make it. He says, whoever hears these words of mine and does it, nothing short of doing Jesus' words will keep the house standing on Judgment Day. There must be doing. And I don't know about you, but I would have felt a lot better if Jesus would have said, the wise man is the one who hears these words of mine and gives them a shot. And he tries his best. But he doesn't leave it there at giving it a shot, because that's not the goal. Giving it a shot is not the goal. The issue isn't trying. The goal is to get it done. To actually do it. Until Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount are put into practice in your life, your house is built on sand. And it won't stand the judgment. And that's an emergency. If you're on sand, that's an emergency that needs to be addressed immediately, because the clouds are gathering. And when Jesus says that house will fall with a great crash, he means with a great crash. In fact, that's emphasized in the Greek, and that word great is placed all the way at the end of the sentence in the Greek for emphasis. It's the very last word in the entire sermon. As Jesus concludes this sermon, the last word people hear ringing in their ears at the end is the Greek word megas. Huge. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and the fall of it was massive. And that ends the sermon. The fall of those people who do not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to the point where they're practicing His words. People who do not put His words into practice. Well, it's going to be an epic disaster to see their fall. And so we need to search our hearts again. And notice, please, that Jesus doesn't point us to the past when he calls us to search our hearts in any of these texts at the end of this sermon. He doesn't say, you better think hard about that day you became a Christian and try and figure out if you really meant it. He doesn't point us to the past. If you want to know for sure if you're saved or not, if you question your salvation, if you doubt, if you struggle with assurance, don't look back at your conversion. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. What it tells us to do is look at your life right now. The test for salvation is always right now. Forget about the past. It doesn't matter. The question is, am I putting Jesus' words into practice in my life right now? Am I just hearing, or am I hearing and doing? Most of the passages about assurance of salvation in Scripture focus on obedience. And that can be unsettling, because none of us obey God perfectly. The reason Jesus taught us to confess our sins every day is because He knows how often true Christians disobey. So how can our obedience possibly serve as a means of giving us assurance? How much obedience must there be for you to be sure of your salvation? Well, we'll cover that in Monday's podcast. So if you struggle at all with assurance of salvation, I would invite you to make sure you do not miss that one. But for now, just ask yourself, is my life a life of listening to Jesus' words in order to put them into practice? Or am I just listening? Remember, both sides are listening to Jesus' words. He doesn't say the house on the sand are those who refuse to listen to Jesus. The sand foundation are people who are in church, taking notes on the sermons, reading their Bibles, listening to Jesus. The only difference between them and the people on the solid foundation is what they do after they listen. That's why I always come on at the end of each podcast to give some point of application, some way of putting the principles from that day's study into practice. So what are you going to do today? You've listened to Jesus' words now. What are you going to do to put them into practice? To let them guide the direction of your steps today? Be specific.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.